Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and it's good for us to be able to come together to worship God. We have some who are away from us this evening. We need to keep them in mind in our prayers as they travel, and those, Janice and others who may be recovering, we need to keep them in mind as well. But it's good to see you, and we have an opportunity to come together and worship the Lord. If you were to read through the book of 1 Corinthians, if you were to examine the situation there at Corinth, you would find a church that had a lot of problems. And if you'll come with me to the scripture reading that Michael just had there, notice in chapter 3 and verse 1 that one of the problems was they were babes, they were immature. And so what I want us to consider this evening is that a lot of times that local church problems can be traced to immaturity among members. And because I want us to remain united and strong here at Memorial Boulevard, there doesn't need to be any division. Because I want us to continue moving forward and working in the Lord, I want us to consider the danger of immaturity. Sometimes there can be problems in a local congregation because someone just outright brings in a heresy or false doctrine. And sometimes there can be problems in the local congregation due to rank immorality among the members and worldliness. But sometimes, and often it is the case, that problems in the local church are just simply traced to men and women acting like little kids. And their attitudes and their dispositions are such that they're causing problems, and it's traced to immaturity. And so I want us to consider this evening the statement that the Apostle Paul makes in chapter 13. If you'll turn with me there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, put away childish things. The context here in 1 Corinthians 13 is about the matter of spiritual gifts. And the Apostle Paul is making the point beginning in chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1. He's making the point that they need to get along in their use of spiritual gifts. And in addition to using spiritual gifts, chapter 13 and verse 1, those gifts are to be tempered with love. They're to be used with love. And so he discusses the matter of love in chapter 13. Well, in chapter 13, beginning in verse 7, he wants to make another point. And that is that while I'm talking about love, I want to make the point that love will continue on. But with regard to these spiritual gifts, they're only temporary. And so spiritual gifts, miracles, tongue speaking, things like that, were for the first century. They were temporary in nature. Love would last beyond that. And in the process of making that point, he makes a point about putting away childish things that I want us to examine this evening. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 8. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or complete is come, that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect is the complete revealed will of God. This is during the first century where God is slowly, little by little, here and there, revealing His Word. And when it all gets revealed, the faith once revealed, Jude 3, once for all revealed, when all of the New Testament gets completely revealed, then these things, these spiritual gifts, will be done away. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. The illustration simply here is this. That there is a time for childish behavior, and during that time it is to be expected. But then there's a time when I'm supposed to grow up, and I don't do that anymore. It's an illustration to make the point of verses 9 and 10. That there's a time for these spiritual gifts, and that they'll exist for a little while, but when that time is complete, then we're going to move on beyond that. And so to help illustrate the point that spiritual gifts will last for a little time and then they're going to be done away. He gives this illustration in verse 11 of a child. There's a time and place for childish behavior. You know when that is? When you're a child. You expect it. You know that it's going to come. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Children say things that are childish. And you can expect that. And all of us who are parents, we understand how that works. That they're going to say and do things that match their age. And it takes some patience as a parent. We have to do some teaching. There's going to be some patience and some correction and things like that. And so we expect it. Number two, I felt as a child. There's going to be feelings and thoughts and attitudes among little children that you can just simply expect. But look at verse 11. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. I put the little picture up here that's supposed to be two little children tugging on a toy. Give me it. No, you give it to me. No, give it back to me. No, give it to me. It's mine. And so we expect that from little children. We expect the maybe the selfishness or the complaining and the fighting. It doesn't make it right. I'm not saying that. We step in as a parent and we deal with that. But you can expect that from a child. But if you were to see two grown men tugging back and forth on a toy, that'd be a little out of place, wouldn't it? And so our lesson this evening is this matter of Corinth and how that it had immaturity among its members and it was causing division. It was causing a number of things. I find it interesting that one book in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul talks about this matter of growing up is in 1 Corinthians. And that is one of the fundamental problems of this church. Childish behavior. You know, there's times when in the New Testament where a childlike behavior is actually commended. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Do you remember when Jesus said there that in order to come into the kingdom, we need to be converted or we need to change and become like a little child? Well, what is that? Well, obviously, he's commending the childlike behavior of possibly humility or innocence or the child who complies to the parent's words. And so we actually need to become like a little child in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so there it is commended. But at other times, childlike immaturity is discouraged and it's wrong. And Paul will say, for example, in 1 Corinthians 11, our scripture reading, that you're babes, and I wanted to talk with you, but you're babes. And then notice what he says there in 1 Corinthians 11, that them being babes is what led them to being carnal, which means fleshly and earthly. The immaturity led to the carnality. That's why this lesson is very important. It's not just some interesting little thing that sometimes you'll find grown-ups acting like children. It's a serious problem. And in growing up in life, and maybe you've experienced this, maybe in other congregations where the problem can be traced to some member of the church, some man or woman who's been baptized for many years, and here they are acting like a little kid. In the business meeting or with the elders or with some of the church members or in the back of the foyer in the church building. Somebody's acting like a little child and causing some problems. So it's a very serious thing. And so immaturity leads to carnality. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 11. But turn with me to the end of 1 Corinthians. And again, I find it interesting that when Paul mentions some of these things, they're in the book of 1 Corinthians. They needed to grow up. And so at the end of the book, act like men. Grow up, in other words, grow up. The old English, quit you. The old way of saying act like men. And so there was a need to grow up. You see, grow up. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Again, in the same book. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Be not children in mind. Be not children in mind, yet in malice be babes, but in mind be men. Your version might say understanding. Be not children in your understanding. Corinth had an immaturity problem. And so, chronologically, we can be older. We can be in a grown-up's body and acting like a little kid. And so I want us to talk this evening about put away childish things. It's time to grow up. What are some things that we need to put away? Well, there's a time for a child to be a child. And we certainly don't need to be shoving them into adulthood before it's time. But at the same manner, there is a time to grow up. And as we become Christians and as we mature in the faith, and as we're chronologically older, we need to grow up. And we don't need to act like children anymore. So, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought and felt as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things, Paul said. There's a time to grow up. And so I want to look at what that time is, and I want to look at some of those things. Number one, what do children do? When they don't get their way and something's not quite right enough, so that they'll just be sulking, you know. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 21. Remember Ahab? When Ahab couldn't get the vineyard that he wanted, I just can't have, Naboth's vineyard. I'm all upset. And so his wife goes out and says, honey, I'll take care of it for you. I'll have him killed. don't you worry your pretty little head over that. I'll take care of that. Well, I want that vineyard. So he's sulking and he's pouting and he's upset. If we have that going on in our life, there's going to be a problem. Well, I don't like what the elders are doing, and I don't like what the preacher said, and that just upsets me. And did you see what that Bible class teacher did? And do you see what that church member said to me on the way out of the church building? And we need to grow up. There will be things in life where we don't get our way. There will be things in life that are disappointing, but we don't need to sulk about that. Have you ever thought about, turn with me to Luke 15. Have you ever thought about the elder brother? A lot of times when we preach on the prodigal son, we talk about the prodigal son, but have you ever thought about a sermon on the elder brother? The elder brother actually represents the Jewish Pharisees of this story who don't want the sinners to come to Christ. They're the elder brother. But when the prodigal son comes back, the elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called to him one of his servants and inquired of these things. And he said, thy brother has come, thy father has killed the fatted calf, and so forth. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in, and his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. I never transgressed a commandment of thine, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends, and so forth. I don't like what's going on here. Sulking. Upset. Didn't get my way, so I'm all upset. We need to put that away. We need to work together. We need to be unified. And especially in matters of opinion and matters of judgment, we may not get our way in a particular matter. We need to buck it up, as it were, and work together and be mature about that. We can't spend our days all upset. How about this? Constant correction. When they're real little, you're always on them. Always on them. Always on them about don't touch this. Always on them about don't do that. Turn with me to Psalm 32 and verse 9. Are you a church member? Am I a church member where somebody's always on us about a particular matter? Always having to talk to us about a particular matter. We need to grow up. You know, there's a time when we would expect a child they need some time to learn this lesson. And so they're not going to touch that, or they're not going to do this or do that. And we understand that among children that takes some time. But a grown adult, we're just always on them every week about the same old thing. Always on them about their attendance, you see. Always on them about getting their Bible class lesson. Always on them about this or about that, you see. In Psalm 32, in verse 9, we need to have an attitude, a mature attitude, of growing up and being mature. We know what is to be done, and so we do that. We don't have to constantly be corrected, you see. In Psalm 32 and verse 9, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings must be bit and bridle to hold them in, else they would not come near unto thee. Always having to be tugging on the rein, come over this way. Always, don't be like that. Do you work with anybody who's the boss just always has to be on about the same old thing? You're thinking, grow up. We expect that among children, but not among adults. And so when we know the proper way to do such and such, why do we constantly have to be told that? We need to grow up and mature, you see. That's something that belongs to children, and we're going to put that away. All play and no work. We used to get in trouble at home because Dad would give us some jobs. He'd come back by about an hour later playing around. Dave shaking his head, probably happened the same thing to him when he was little. He was supposed to be out farming, you know. He's supposed to be out working the whatever, and he's out behind the barn playing around. Boys, why are y'all playing? Why are y'all playing around? There's a time for that. But then there's a time to get to work. Are we a church member who will dirty our hands, roll up our sleeves, and get to work? Or is it just all play and no work? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're always there as much as we can. We're busy in and out of the local assembly. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, we're not going to be lazy. Turn with me there. We're not going to just be lazy and, you know, just not do anything and have a good life is about having fun. Get to work. Children play all the time. You know what? I mean, I'm talking about little toddlers, little kids. They play all the time. Why? They're not parents. They don't have children to take care of. They don't have a job. They can't go out and get in their car and go somewhere. They don't have that kind of life. So what do? They play all the time. They play all the time. And so when you walk by, just little old children, you know, they're there playing in the floor. Well, we expect that. We expect that. We come by an hour later, still playing. We expect that from little children, but not from grown-ups. There's a time to get a job and get to work and work at that job. And when we're talking about the Lord's work, there's a time to get to work. There are things that have to be done in and out of this building. And we need to be an active member. We need to be a participating member. We need to be a member that can be counted upon. We need to grow up. And we need to be here and be busy. You see, we would expect all play and no work from children, but not from adults. And so that's something that needs to be put away. We need to put away envy and jealousy. A lot of times when little children are together, they're fussing and fighting and they're tugging on their toys, and somebody has something that they don't have, and so they're envious and jealous of that, and they say bad things and they go yank their toy from their hand. We expect that from little children, but not from adults. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18, what was one reason why Jesus was crucified? Do you know what the Pharisees just couldn't stand? They couldn't stand Jesus being successful. And envy and jealousy is when we can't stand somebody else being successful. We don't want them to have the good things that they're having. In Matthew chapter 27, turn with me there. Why was Jesus delivered up? For he, Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him up. The Pharisees were envious of Jesus. Envious of what? His following, the crowds, his success. We don't want that. We don't like that. So we're going to get rid of this guy. Why did Joseph, turn to Acts 7 and verse 9. Why was Joseph thrown in a pit? Why was he thrown in a pit? Because his brothers were envious of what his father, the love that his father had shown and the coat that he had made for him. And we don't like that. So we're going to throw you in a pit. Well, we expect that from children, but not from grown adults. So turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. Sometimes in a local congregation, we don't like, I don't like that they're an elder. I don't like that they get to stand up and do this. I don't like the attention that they're getting and the recognition that they're getting and the work that they're doing. And they've had some success in teaching others, and they've had some success maybe in training, and their name is brought up a lot. And I don't like that. So I'm going to start backbiting and saying bad things about them and so forth. And so in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, envies is in the list of the works of the flesh. What is that? I don't like what somebody else has. And so I don't like what Jesus has, and I'm going to kill him. And I don't like what my brother has. He's that dreamer of dreams, and he gets to get out there and dream things, and God speaks to him, and my dad gave him a coat. I don't like that. I'm going to throw him in a pit. It's childish. In the local congregation, there will be brethren with different roles, different responsibilities, different successes, and we should appreciate that. We should want that. We should work together with that. We should pray for them. All of us have different things that we bring to the table, different talents that we bring, and we should enjoy that and appreciate that and applaud that, not be envious and jealous of that. We need to put away instability. You know, a child, you can't count on them for serious kinds of things. They're a child. But what about a grown adult? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Here, Paul uses the matter of children again. Tossed to and fro like children. Why? Because the nature of a small child is instability. You cannot count on them. You cannot rely upon them. They haven't grown up. And so we need to grow up. Verse 13, a full grown man. I fear that what is happening among some Christians is chronologically, age-wise, they're older, but they're just acting like little kids. And then somebody else take care of me. No. We need to grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we may be no longer children. Underscore that in your Bible. That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro. Notice how he ties instability in with being children. That's just something that comes with being a child. Sometimes doing right, sometimes not. Sometimes helpful, sometimes not. You see. We expect that. So no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in the craftiness in the wiles of error. But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into Him. We need to be someone that we can be counted upon. Not in and out of the church, hot and cold, sometimes faithful, sometimes not. Sometimes, you know, we can count on you, sometimes we can't. That's a child. An adult is just fixed, always there. And given some exception of maybe a health situation or, you know, just an act of God, we're going to be stable. And you know that brother so-and-so is going to be there for such-and-such and sister so-and-so. We need to be that way. I think of self-centeredness. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. That's the little child on the first slide there. That's my talk. It's about me. And I'm the center of the universe, you see. And the attention's on me. Well, that's a little child. We need to understand that we are to have a servant's heart, a servant's attitude. We're not to be the center of the universe. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, let us not become vainglorious, building ourselves up, promoting ourselves, provoking one another, envying one another. Look at me. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I need to be a servant like Christ. The example of Christ on the cross is set forth as an example of service. But look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Doing nothing through faction, that's division, or through vain glory. I'm puffed up. I'm built up. Hey, look at me. But in lowliness of mind, counting each other better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things, selfishness, self-centeredness, but at each of you to the things of others. Self-centeredness is an attribute of a child, but it shouldn't be in our life. Wasting time. We used to get in trouble at home for wasting time. Back to that point about playing all the time. Boys, y'all are wasting time. Well, that was in the context of I've given you a job to do and I come around later and y'all are just, you know, sitting around. You're wasting time. There's time for rest. There's time for a break. But we've got to get to work. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. With some people, with some adults, their whole life is a break. Their whole life is you know, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to get up today and I'm going to sit. And then I'm going to go to sleep and then I'm going to get up the next day and I'm just going to sit. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all of our might. Galatians 6:10. Let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4 that I want to work while it is day. The night cometh when I can't work. I'm going to get out there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, I'm going to pray for doors of opportunity to open up so that I can speak to others about the gospel. Time is precious, brethren. And the seconds are slipping away each day. We're closer and closer to the day of judgment. And we don't need to be wasting time. We would expect a child to do that. But not a grown person. We need to put away childish things, and wasting time, as these other things are, need to be put away. Uncooperative and dissatisfied. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. The Jews, of Jesus' day, they didn't like John the Baptist and they didn't like Jesus. We just don't like anybody, you know. And this little story that Jesus tells is to try to teach the lesson that you people are like. He says, I'll tell you what this generation is like. It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call unto their fellows and say, we piped unto you with on the little flutes and you didn't dance. We wailed and you didn't mourn. In other words, whatever we do, you don't like it. We tried to get you to dance and you didn't want to do that. Then we tried to get you to cry, you didn't want to do that. You know why? Because little children are often uncooperative and dissatisfied. And well, we don't want that. Well, do you want this? No, I don't want that. Well, do you want this? No, I don't want that either. Well, what do you want? So they said about Jesus, he comes eating and drinking, a gluttonous man, a winebibber. They said about John the Baptist, he's got a demon. We don't like John. We don't like Jesus. We don't like anybody. That's a part of that lesson that he's trying to teach there. That's what this generation is like. John came and tried to help you. Oh, he's got a demon. Jesus came and tried to help you. Oh, he's a wine bibber and a glutton, friend of sinners. And it's like little children out there with their fellows. They're okay, we're going to play a flute. We'll try to get you. No, I don't want to dance. Okay, well then we'll try to get you to mourn and cry. The opposite. No, I don't want to do that either. We need to work together in the cause of the Lord. We don't need to be uncooperative. We don't need to be dissatisfied all the time. Well, that doesn't work for me, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. But always working together. The uncooperative spirit is a childish thing, and it needs to be put away. Lack of understanding. We mentioned earlier 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, where Paul says, be not children in mind, my version says. Your version might say, in understanding. We need to grow up. We need to take God's Word and apply it in our lives. And the way we get greater understanding is reading our Bibles and applying it in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 5, there was a time when they ought to be teachers, but they weren't growing. And notice the example that he gives there in Hebrews chapter 5 of these brethren that weren't growing in their knowledge, and then using that to teach. Everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word, for he is a babe. They were babes. They should have been growing up by this time. And the grown up should be a teacher by this time. But no, we don't want that, you see. Somebody else will do that. But solid food is for full grown men, even though who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, there's your understanding, good and evil. There have been those in local churches that have caused problems, and they've carried a Bible all their life, but they're not reading it and applying it. And the very Bible that they're carrying would correct their behavior, but no, we don't want to grow up. Be not children in understanding. We need to be growing and applying God's Word. How about impatience? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I want it now. The little child, I got to have it right now. Buy me that right now. Give me that right now. Got to have it right now. That's a little child. We would expect that. No, you need to work and save. No, I don't want to work and save for it. I want one right now. There are things that take some patience. And with regard to heaven and other matters, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are things that have to be waited for. Heaven is one of those things. And we have to daily pray and read our Bible and be faithful. It's not boom right now. It's a marathon. It's not a little short sprint. And it's not about, well, I want it right now. It's going to take a while. And while that is going on, there's going to be trials and tribulations. And the devil is going to try to test us. But we have to, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. We can't be impatient. Let's exercise patience in the local congregation and in our personal lives. How about tattling? Mom, so-and-so did such and such. Dad, so-and-so did such and such. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. We expect that of children. In fact, as parents will tell little children, don't tattle. Don't be a tattletale. Do you know that the King James uses tattle? where did we get that idea of tattletale? That English word. A lot of our English words came straight from the King James. This is one of them. Other versions talk about talebearer or a tattler. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, and that you be diligent to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, even as we charged you. They were to stay busy. They were to do their own thing. They were to be occupied with their own work. But when they became lazy, and I didn't put on the overhead, but turn over to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. When we're not busy, we just get up and we waste time, and we're not going to work, and we're not going to be productive, then we're going to end up doing other things that are bad. For we hear that some of you walk disorderly, that work not at all, but are busybodies. Well, what is that? You're just going around in other people's affairs, talking about other kinds of affairs, and it causes a problem. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13. And here's where the old English word tattler comes in with some of the versions. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle. Well, we would expect that from a child. You walk by and they're not doing anything. Yeah. They don't have children to take care of. They don't have a job. They're not in school yet. We would expect idleness from a little child, but not from a grown person. But here's a grown person. Idle, you see. Well, what problem is it going to cause? Going about from house to house, and not only idle, but also tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Tattling on the church members. Well, Sister so-and-so, do you see what she said? Do you hear what she said? Do you see that look she gave me? And get on the phone, and of course today it would be email or texting or whatever. Tattling. And so, it's just childish behavior that needs to be put away. If somebody is not acting right in the local congregation, obviously that needs to be dealt with. But much is just simply gossip and tattling. What about cliques? Little children form their groups. And we're not going to let you in our group. Yeah. Sally and Susie and Jenny, she's in my group. But not you, Mary. You're not in my group. See? And those of us who are parents have been around this. Anna, who teaches younger children, she sees some of these kinds of things. We understand what that is. And in James chapter 2, there were cliques. There were groups in the local church. And so the guy that comes in and he's dressed real good, well, you can come sit by me, you see. But then the poor man comes in and you need to stand over there, you see. I don't want you near me. We need to be careful about the cliques and the groups. That's childish. And it is in local churches. And it destroys local churches. I know of a case in another state where it was about the cliques. And the haves and the have-nots. And the in-group and you're not in the group. And it causes a lot of problems. Look at 3 John 10. Can you imagine Diotrephes? Can you imagine being in this local congregation where he was at? If I will come, I will bring remembrance of his works which he doeth prating against us or speaking against us with wicked words and not content therewith, as if that were not enough of a problem, he wanted to add to it. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and them that would he forbiddeth and casteth out of the church. You can't be here. You can't be in this group. Others can, and then I don't want you here. Can you imagine him having the preeminence and the prominence that he was trying to have? He loveth to have the preeminence. That he's going to go around telling who can be in the church and who can't. It's childish. It's wrong. We need to put away childish things. Constant complaining. Well, I don't want to wear this, and I don't want to eat that, and I don't want to go here, and I don't want to do this, just all day long. We would expect that from little children. We work with it, we teach, we instruct, we bring them out of that, but not among grown adults. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know what one of the biggest problems of the Israelites in the wilderness was? They're marching around and many of them are acting like little kids, whining about this and complaining about that. Look at the things that are listed here. Some of these things, verse 8, fornication, you know, sexual immorality. But then some of it, verse 10, neither murmur as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. I don't like this manna. I don't, you know, I want some water to drink. I don't like what you're providing for me here, you see. And in all honesty, that would be a very difficult situation, the wilderness wandering. But God did that to show them to have reliance upon Him. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 3, 4, and 5, I did this so that you would learn to trust me and have faith in me. He had His reasons for that. There was not to be the constant, I want to go back to Egypt. I had better things to eat back there. You see, I want to do this. And you can just, can you imagine Moses? And the text says that there were times when Moses would go to God and, I'm having trouble with these people. Can you imagine everything? The murmuring throughout the camp, the complaining throughout the camp. And then we don't like Moses leading us, Numbers chapter 11. And then Korah stands up in Numbers 16. We don't want these people to lead us. We want somebody else. And who made you our leader? And all day long, every day, somebody complaining. That's childish. We need to put that away. And so in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, we're to do nothing by murmuring and complaining. That's childish behavior. It's not grown-up behavior. Unkindness. Do you know sometimes children can just be outright mean? They can just be mean. Walk up and slug somebody and say some nasty thing and just be mean. Well, children will do that. Grown-ups shouldn't do that. We're to treat others the way we would want to be treated. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is kind, you see. And turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. We're to be kind one toward another. Unkindness and just outright meanness is childish behavior. They were showing, do you remember the commercials? That there were some news stories, not commercials, but some news stories concerning Black Friday right after Thanksgiving about the shopping. And there was one news story that showed some girls in a mall just pulling hair, little teenagers, you know, pulling hair and throwing each other on the floor. They were fighting over buying something. Well, even as teenagers, they should have outgrown that behavior. Can you imagine? Pulling hair in a mall. Well, some people take that on up into adulthood, and if they don't do it physically, with their words and attitudes, they're just unkind. And so finally, be all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise, blessing. We need to treat each other in a good way. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, one last thing that I thought of here is a matter that deals with Bible authority. As we grow up and mature in the faith, we need to have an attitude that I'm going to go by what God's Word says. And I have to have book, chapter, and verse for what God says. I'm not going to take the childish approach. Well, you didn't say not to. Sometimes children will have these statements, that these what I call reasoning or arguing, rather than just humbly obeying what my mom and dad say, I've got to reason that through and argue it in a childlike fashion. Well, where'd you say not to? Or how close can I get to such and such and not disobey you? Or where's the line? You never showed me where the exact line is, you see. Instead of just each day, I know that I have to stay within the realm of God's Word. So Colossians 3:16, whatever we do in word or deed, we're going to do all in the name of the Lord. I'm not going to try each day to argue with God in a childlike fashion. Well, that's just what you say. That's just your interpretation. Rather than how close can I get, I'm going to stay back and stay within the realm of God's Word. And so sometimes childish reasoning and arguing stays with folks throughout their life. Well, the lesson is yours. It's time to grow up. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So whatever it is, whether it's the sulking or the constant correction and all play and no work, envy and jealousy, instability, self-centeredness, it's all about me. Getting up each day, wasting time, uncooperative, lacking understanding, impatient, tattling, the little clicks, constant complaining, unkindness, or childish reasoning. You may be able to think of something else. I wasn't intending to come up with an exhaustive list. These are some things that came to my mind. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't ever want us here at Memorial Boulevard to have problems in the local church like Corinth had. Some of their problems are traced to immaturity, and they needed to grow up. And so I hope that this lesson has helped us. And I don't believe that we have that type of thing going on at Corinth. And so somebody might think, well, why do a lesson like that? Well, it's preventive in nature. It helps us to understand that down the road, if I don't grow up, if I don't mature, that this is what lies in store for me. But not just in the local church, but even in my own personal life. In my own personal life, I need to grow up. In my own personal life, I need to mature. It's almost as if I'm not going to do that, and then just everybody else is going to make it all right. No, I need to grow up. I need to be mature. And so I hope that this lesson has helped us. There's a time for growing, and that's right now. And hopefully we're all growing up and growing in the right direction. There may be someone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come back. It starts by mature thinking, and whatever change I need to make, I'm going to make that before it's everlasting too late. If we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing? I am